You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast with me, the boy that's more self-doubt than no doubt, Joel Babington, and he is a hollaback girl, David Lim.
JB, good to see you.
Good to see you, Davo, back in pop world.
I'm very excited about this one, Joel. I mean, this is just a spring of eternal summer to me. The superstar we're going to cover today brings back lots of very fond memories of my childhood in Australia. And it's just like, especially now that we're in the depths of winter, it's just been a sweet escape for me.
It has been. And look, I don't want to make it sound the wrong way by saying it's a forgotten star, because she is a huge global star. But for me personally, this is a journey, a rediscovery of sorts that I'm so happy to get on.
A reintroduction, if you will.
A reintroduction into the JB Hall of Fame. So look, listeners, thank you for joining us on a sweet escape today, celebrating Gwen Stefani's 2000 career. For the next hour or so, it's Right Back At You. It may be longer, who knows? But before we get into it, David, can you please read one of our lovely five-star reviews?
Absolutely. And thanks, guys, so much for all your love with our last episode, which is Sugar Babes Part 2. I mean, the babedom came through again, JB, didn't they? Like, it was just, we just loved, and especially doing the kind of the Instagram quizzes that we do, the Insta story quizzes. I just love, like, just seeing what people select and, like, the messages and just the memories that people have of the different eras. Like, it's just, what a blessing to be able to celebrate a career with such longevity and so many moments. So that's what we're hoping to do more of on Right Back At Ya.
More and more of. If you're not following the fun on Instagram, we are at Right Back Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Thank you for that natural segue into a plug there, David.
He was waiting for it to come in, and yeah, we just fed it to him. So yes, thanks again for your lovely five-star reviews, which you can leave on Apple. This one is from, this one's from Australia. G'day.
Hello. G'day. How you going?
This one's by Ads for Ricky, which I'm hoping is a Ricky Lee stan account. The title is What a Time to Be Alive. When I look back on these dark times, I'll remember that this podcast was a huge part of keeping my mood up during the endless lockdowns. I had all episodes on repeat, and it made me feel like I had some new friends with my exact music taste from the other side of the globe. Thank you so much for bringing us this pure joy of a podcast to remember the true golden era of pop music. Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Ads for Ricky Lee. Do you think we could
Ricky,
be the new...
It wasn't Ads for Ricky Lee, but I just inserted it in. So I'm really sorry if it's like a Ricky Lake fan account and I've just like pivoted it to Ricky Lee. But
Australia, could we be the new Carl and Jackie O? Could that be? Who would be who? I think you'd be Jackie O. As much as I'd love to be Jackie O, I think that's you, David. And I think I'm more of the Carl.
I think we both embody the essence of that.
Yeah, yeah. So that means get Tamara on the phone and let's get married. Tamara Jarber. Deep cut reference there and Right Back At Ya. So thank you so much for that gorgeous five-star review. Guys, if you are enjoying what we're doing, please do leave us a five-star review. So DL, we are here today to celebrate the woman, the legend, the sweet escape. She's what we're waiting for. She has been on our list for a long time.
She really has.
She like, really
honestly,
has.
I look at our Google Doc, which I think Gwen's name has been on this list for about 2 years. We originally wanted to do something in, I think, around one of the anniversaries of, or one of the milestones of the Love Angel Music Baby album. But I feel like now, at this point, this month, it just feels particularly relevant because she has come back with a new single, Let Me Reintroduce Myself. And it's a very like deliberate kind of, hey, I'm just popping my head into the pop world again, guys. It's me. You know, the music video references all her past iconic looks. It's a real celebration. It's a retrospective. It's a looking back, looking forward kind of moment for Gwen. So I just thought, let's just do this, JB. Let's dive into Gwen Stefani.
Let's go for it. Now, look, I love that. I love it so much when a pop star does a self-referential celebratory event, a single, a tour, whatever it is. So right now we've got this new song, a music video. Seeing her put on all those iconic looks again, it's just saying, look, like, if you've forgotten, remember how bloody iconic I am. And as a fan, it's just such a joy to see that, because it gives you that, you know, nostalgia. And I think as well with her recent Vegas residency, which I believe was called Just a Girl, It seems like a very celebratory time for Gwen, and kind of really bringing in all elements of her career. Because what we'll get into today, which really surprised me, is that on her tour, she didn't really sing any No Doubt songs. She didn't include any of the big hits in her set. So that was kind of the first time solo artist Gwen Stefani was giving you the solo hits of her solo career and all the big No Doubt songs in one
show. So it really is that Vegas residency really is sort of a greatest hit show, isn't it? It's a best of Gwen, her career. You know, once this is all over and the world can sort of go back to normal, maybe bring this Vegas residency set across the world. We'd love to see that.
That's like a hot ticket in town. That's a ticket I want to go.
Yeah, we definitely want to see that for sure. Look, we are a noughties pop music podcast. She is one of the most iconic solo female artists of the noughties, you know. Today, I mean, we're looking back on Gwen's absolutely defining first two solo albums, Love Angel Music Baby and The Sweet Escape. As we all know, front woman of No Doubt, with No Doubt sold over 33 million records worldwide, 3 Grammys. She has, as a solo artist, earned 7 Grammy nominations, including Album of the Year. She has sold over 9 million records worldwide as a solo artist, 6 UK top 20 singles, 6 top 20 singles on a Billboard Hot 100. Gwen Stefani at the height of her solo career, JB. I mean, she had 2 fashion brands. She had bags, she had accessories, she had children's wear, she had a perfume range, she had dolls. It was all fucking happening. Absolute star icon when you look at what she did. And we really will start to see her impact and her influence on this new and current generation of pop stars, you know, like Katy Perry, Marina and the Diamonds, Dua, Charlie XCX, Kim Petras. Like, you can see Gwen's impact from these two seminal albums feeding in, can't you?
Even Lady Gaga, I would say, in a way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah.
But even, like, as soon as the album came out, within the next few years, the impact was there and present and prominent. Because I think it probably took for someone that was already famous and well known to maybe do something that could be conceived as a bit more out there, and, you know, taking a bit more different stuff that then would make it easier for people in the future. You know, maybe would we have adopted Lady Gaga so easily if we hadn't have had this album or these few albums? Who knows, Davo? But obviously you missed the biggest accolade of all. She's had all that success, but she finally has a Right Back At Ya episode.
Right Back At Ya Hall of Fame. There she is.
Right Back At Ya Hall of Fame. Forget the Logies.
Up there with Precious, Cleopatra, Atomic Kitten, Samantha Mumba, icons, legends only.
The Right Back At Ya Jenny Frost Contribution to Music Award still goes to Jen, but you get an honorable mention, Gwen. So, look, obviously, No Doubt is such a huge part of Gwen's career. So do you have any standout No Doubt songs that you just want to give a little bit of light to here?
Do you know what? I mean, I think everyone feels this way. Don't Speak is just a classic. That was the first time I heard of No Doubt. It was a huge global hit. It touched us in Malaysia. It was a big radio staple. Later down the line, it would be like maybe a few more years before I catch up with the other No Doubt singles. But it was Don't Speak. It was Hey Baby. It was Hella Good underneath it all. Those are the kind of moments for me.
Amazing.
What about you?
I actually forgot how much I love No Doubt. Long after, you know, their original peak. But in about 2011, 2012... I really deep dived into No Doubt and become kind of a super fan. Around the sort of time I fell in love with Tina Marie and Rick James and Rick Astley, I was feeling my oats outside of Al Oover, if you want. And then, you know, came back. So I've really enjoyed thinking about this. And I actually really need to get some No Doubt on vinyl.
I was actually going to say, I don't have even Love Angel Music Baby on vinyl. And that's been reissued, right?
Yeah, that had the 15th anniversary
missed the boat on that one.
And I think it might have had a few. So for me, my standouts are obviously like Just a Girl is such a classic. But I also love Dead Edgy. And it's the iconic opening song to Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. It just is the perfect opening to that incredible, incredible film.
It is very JB, yes.
It is so JB. Maybe like the cover for the JB One tour. When I'm trying to start my, when I'm going a bit rocker.
This is your I bet you look good on the dance floor moment. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Amel.
brings auto-tune to Radio 1 Live Lounge. And then I absolutely love one of their really early hits, Trapped in a Box.
Wow, you are like really in with the deep cuts, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a single, but it was an early single. Start the Fire, which was a album track on their Rocksteady one, is an absolute favourite of mine.
Rocksteady's a great album.
Great album. And then obviously from that album, Hella Good and Hey Baby. Like, the, you know, the songs that just sort of make you feel in your body when you hear them.
It's a shame this isn't on video because we just had Joel gyrating a little in his seat.
So, Davey Wavy, before we get into the debut single, shall we do a quick wrap up of her pre-solo outings?
Yeah. Because, I mean, even before What You're Waiting For and this Love Angel Music Baby era, we have seen Gwen dabble in a few, you know, little forays, little projects. Most prominently, of course, everyone knows this, the collab with Eve, Let Me Blow Your Mind, in 2001, which won a Grammy. I didn't know this.
This might sound really stupid, and listeners, please like shout at whatever device you're listening on if it is. Like, the minute I heard it, like, looked at her discography, saw this song, clicked on it, knew the song instantly. It's so famous. I'll be honest, I had no idea it was Gwen and Eve.
Oh, but you know the song.
I know the song. You know when a song is so famous. And it's just like a song, and then I was like, oh my God, it's Gwen and Eve. So. Yeah, I might be. I'm probably being really stupid. If anyone else had that experience,
I don't know what it did over here. I mean, I assumed it was a hit in the UK, and maybe they did a Top of the Pops thing. It just felt like this music video was everywhere. It was constantly on the radios. Obviously, the clean version.
But the song's so good. Like watching it, I actually thought, can I make this my ringtone? It just felt like something that you would make your ringtone back in
the
day.
Do you remember back in the day where you could compose your own ringtones on your Nokias and stuff?
Oh my God!
And you'd buy
I
your Smash
about
Hits
that.
Magazine, and they would have the codes in them, or you had to like pay certain money, and then you get in trouble with your parents because it's like 55 cents.
Oh God, they were expensive, those ringtones.
They were expensive, but you could go on the internet, and this was my ringtone. This was my monophonic ringtone at one point.
Oh wow. So then in 2000 as well, and I would say this is kind of probably technically, this is the first solo foray Gwen ever, we have Moby Southside featuring Gwen Stefani. Here we are now going to the west side. Weapons in hand as we go for a ride. Some may come love, some may stay. Watching out for the sun.
Now I don't know this one, darling.
Oh, David, you need to check it out. I'll give you a direct reading of my notes. This is a Dead Edgy mood.
So she's got Moby, she's got Eve, she's got Brian Setzer Orchestra. She really is cross-pollinating without it being the kind of obvious strategy for Gwen, isn't it?
Let's go back to 1998, David. There was a little discovery that you sent me. The Brian Setzer Orchestration featuring Gwen Stefani.
Oh, this one, speaking of Let Me Blow Your Mind, this blew my fucking mind when I found out about this. Oh, when it comes to kissing, I just gotta keep insisting, oh baby, you sure do swing. And when it comes to kissing, I just gotta keep insisting on your daddy, huh. You are the king. Oh, you've got me beat up and down, inside out and across.
Right. But in the middle of the night, when the moon is shining,
It was sometime in the noughties when I was listening to a student radio station late one night. And you know how, like, some of these community radio stations, they've got, like, really random shows at night? So I couldn't sleep one night. I was listening to it, and this song was on. And then I heard the announcer say, something, something or other, Gwen Stefani. I was like, no, that could not have been Gwen. Like, I thought it was a 60s Judy Garland record. Went on LimeWire, downloaded it, some dodgy version.
Hacker David Lynch strikes again.
But yeah, in 2021 eyes, now that she's done her Christmas album and she's done those kind of, like, you know, fun, wholesome kind of 60s bops, it makes sense. But back in the late 90s, she was cool, you know, edgy rock band front woman. You just wouldn't expect her to be on a record like this and sound so incredible.
And I could really see it kind of appearing in, like, a David Lynch film. It feels very adjacent to his aesthetic.
I just love that, you know, she's having these little creative risks and collabs here and there, testing the waters. And I don't get a sense that Gwen always had a big picture of, I have to go solo. It was more like, I felt like she was eased into it, if you know what I mean. Like, I got the sense that she was very content being in No Doubt. But
yeah,
as opportunities came along and she dabbled, she grew in confidence and went for it.
So that is our roundup of pre What You Waiting For, Gwenny. Shall we cut to September 2004, David? Our girl debuts with her debut single, naturally, What You Waiting For?
Wow. Absolutely bold, bonkers statement of a debut single. Like, this is how you do it. You want to launch a solo career? You're making a mini movie. You are going all the way the fuck out.
Absolutely. What I think is great about this is that, yes, it's a brilliant debut single. Perfectly sets up the aesthetic of the album, but it doesn't overshadow the rest of the singles. There's still a journey of hits for us to go on.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because I've read one interview and she said that when she submitted this song, she knew it had to be the lead single because it was sort of the mission statement for her. You know, it kind of encapsulates all the voices in her head of, you know, whether to go solo or not, and all this kind of conversations about, you know, the shelf life of female pop stars. So for her, it made sense to lead with this single, but maybe some people at her record label, she said, felt like it wasn't right, it wasn't radio ready enough. But come on, you gotta go big for your first single.
Yeah, set up that world, that universe, which I don't know if people really were doing at the time. I'm sure people will say, this person did it. Had we seen it in this mainstream way? I'm talking about aesthetics, concept. She's brought a whole new world with her that we kind of see more from Lady Gaga. And yeah, like, tell us, guys, if we've missed out anyone that really prominently did that. Obviously, like, Madonna does and did amazing things, like, each era. But I mean this whole world aesthetic. We have to say it was written with the absolute legendary songwriter, Linda Perry. And this song really was expressing everything she was going on at the time. Like you said, David, it was really giving us the narrative of her transitioning from being in No Doubt to questioning, you know, should she be doing this solo career? What I think is absolutely mad is that you look at No Doubt and she is such an amazing, confident front woman of that band, like, that you would never think that woman is going to be shy about going solo. That just looks like makes sense.
She said doing this record, this solo record, was a big personal leap for her because up until the age she was 26, she was living at home with her parents still. And then she had the cocoon of the band. In there was her boyfriend at some point. They were together for 7 years, Tony Kanal. Writing with Linda Perry was the first female songwriter she ever worked with. She's never written with anyone outside the band before. So this whole journey, this whole process, it just felt like a real blossoming for Gwen. I think, you know, by the time we get to the end of this episode, we're really going to see, like, a maturation and a natural kind of growth for her and her brand that, like, when we come out at the end of this episode on the other side, it's like a completely different girl that we see writing this record with Linda Perry at this time.
And how amazing that pretty much from their first session, I think they wrote something else and it didn't really fly, but then the next day they wrote basically this song. Absolutely amazing.
No Doubt did their Rocksteady tour. They came back off, just literally just finished that tour. Gwen was burnt out.
You would be.
Jimmy Iovine, head of her label, was pushing her to go solo. Like, he's always wanted to see her do that. She wasn't quite ready. Even Linda would say that she felt like Gwen was reluctant in their first session. And what I love about this song is the kind of, like, different characters and, you know, the kind of different internal voices that she puts on. And I found this really interesting that Linda Perry told Rolling Stone. She wanted to do something where there was a bunch of different characters. So I set up 6 microphones and labeled them. And at every line, I told her which microphone to go to. Different microphones give you different sounds and they make you feel a different character. We did the whole song like that. It was really fun. Jimmy Iovine showed up later and said, well, there's our first single.
Absolutely amazing. And I love
genius.
That. Genius. You're right. So, David, shall we talk about the music video?
Now, Joel, on YouTube, there is a full extended version of this video, which I had never seen before.
Me either. 7 minutes. It's a very heightened biographical aesthetic, isn't it? And it's very interesting because it's kind of this, like, songwriter's therapy camp turns a bit rehabby feeling. And then we actually hear, David, this is where we hear, I don't know if you noticed in the background, the elevator version of this song.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, when she's signing in, it's playing in the background.
That is great spotting, great detail. So I sent Joel a link earlier this day before we were recording because I was on Spotify looking at the Love Angel Music Baby album. And at the bottom of the album, there's an elevator mix of What Are You Waiting For? And I've never seen this before. This definitely wasn't on the CD version of my album.
Apparently it was a bonus track only on the Japan and UK versions. Oh, so wow. Look, I think it's not something that we wanted, but it is something that we needed. Dead quirky. Absolutely. Very, very quirky. So look, I also have to say, did you clock that iconic Gwen Stefani iPod?
Oh,
by
yes.
By the piano. That classic iPod, probably one of the first iPods. It was pre-mini or around the same time as the mini, but that was the bigger one.
There was a bigger one with that 64 gigs, yeah.
Yeah, Gwen Stefani branding, amazing. I would have that now if it was thrusted upon me, please.
Did you used to have the big iPod?
No, I had iPod mini. I had iPod mini baby blue. And I'm sure I've told you about this before. I paid extra to have it engraved on the back. And it said, Joel Babington, lover of all teen icons.
How appropriate.
How appropriate.
Still resonates to this day.
That iPod mini, it doesn't work now. It's still somewhere at my mum's, but that was like full wall-to-wall of bops.
And then some, like, you know, bonus LimeWire rips, yeah.
Well, the From Justin to Kelly soundtrack was on there. I still think about it all the time. I'm like, oh my God, I wish I still had that iPod. So look, also, I was watching this and I was wondering, do you think... And it's actually going to be my first of 2 comparisons of these 2 artists and music videos today. Do you think when Ashley Simpson released Out of My Head, it received any comparisons to this?
I'm sure she would have loved it.
Don't be a bitch, David. I said to myself the other day, I was like, I'm sick of being timid. 2021, I'm going to be a fucking ruthless bitch. And not to anyone that's nice, but just like, you know, when there's
just
those
to me.
Not to you, but you know, when there's people that are just like, people that aren't nice, and I'm so like timid or like try and like kill them with kindness and it doesn't work. I'm like, 2021, I'm going to be a fucking ruthless bitch. I'm not really.
Unlock the savage. Yeah.
I'm going to try.
Savage JB.
If I have it 1/10, maybe I can stand my ground on a few.
I'm definitely things. Scared now.
With this, don't be such a bitch, David. So anyway, I was obviously there was a few years difference, but I wondered, it had kind of a similar-ish vibe. Don't know if anyone else thought that or if this is a unique thought in the world.
I mean, if you did not think that, don't tell Joel. Keep it to yourself. Disagree.
Disagree. This music video at the 2005 MTV Video Music Awards won the award for Best Art Direction and was also nominated for Best Editing. Also, at the Much Music Video Awards, the video was nominated for Best International Video, but lost to Usher, Caught Up. Do you remember how big Usher was in this era, though?
Oh, yeah, the Confessions era.
Yeah.
The other Confessions era, not Madonna's, but yeah.
This was big. It was like Usher, and he was such a pin-up and always getting his abs out. Oh. I even remember in the American teen magazines I used to have imported from America because no one here was covering Hillary and Mandy and Jessica and Ashley. There was like those silly, cheesy things like, oh my God, shock at TRL when Usher lifted his shirt and his abs had disappeared. But luckily he was just breathing out. And then once he regulated his breathing, his six pack was back.
Yeah, cutting edge journalism there, J14 magazine.
Yes, it was J14, so thank you. I'm available to, do your socials or whatever.
Guest editor.
Celebrity guest editors, David and Joel. So, Davey Wavy, this song, right, also was nominated for Best Female Vocal Performance at the 2005 Grammy Awards, but lost to, and then this is a 2005 reference, Norah Jones.
I mean, Norah Jones was inescapable at this time. But do you know what? Give it to Gwen.
Give you reading the award. Actually, no, it's going to go to Gwen.
Nora, sit back down, love. You've had your turn.
So, David, it goes without saying, this song was a huge chart success. Did you buy this?
This was a global hit, and no, I did not buy this. I did not need to.
You did not need to. Aria, number one.
Come on, Australia.
Well done, Australia.
Debuted at number one in Australia, stayed on top of the charts for 2 weeks, double platinum certification.
Also number one on the Australian dance singles charts. Is that the first time we'd spoken about that?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe. Do you think I Need Somebody is still number one on the Australian dance charts?
I should hope so.
I should bloody hope
so. Shout out Bardo.
Shout out Bardo. Send us your vinyl. Number four on the UK singles charts. Very respectable debut. It's hard to crack the top of the UK charts, especially in this time. You know, it might have been a four here in the UK, but it was a number two in Scotland and Ireland. So well done, guys. We might have berated you in the last episode, but you started out strong here. So well done, guys. The Billboard Hot 100, David, shockingly, but we know how it's confusing over there. Number 47. It's a respectable debut, but we're going to see some higher entries.
Also number one on the US dance club songs. Got to give a shout out to that incredible Stuart Price remix, aka Jux Leconte.
So she really has arrived. And then it's straight into the debut album in November.
Boom. Love, Angel, Music, Baby.
Hurry up and come and save me.
This is one of my favorite albums of my teenage years, hands down. Like, this came out at the end of the year in 2004, and it was my last year of high school. It was summertime in Australia. It just really felt like the beginning of my life and my independence. Aww. And there it was, like, this album. I had it on CD. I just have very fond memories of like laying in bed with my Discman and just listening to the album, looking through the album booklet, looking through all the lyrics, all the credits, all the producers. It's a classic, you know, glossy, blingy, hedonistic, quirky pop. I was living for it.
That is such a wonderful description. I love that it came out and you're saying it felt like the beginning of the rest of your life. It's so wonderful, these songs that come out in such pivotal times for us. And we will always, I mean, I guess in one way or another, it's a big reason why we do this podcast, but they will always be time capsules for you. And listening to them will take you straight back to that time and those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions. I mean, for me, this album really just takes me back to when I was in secondary school, me and my friends just loving this album. It has such fun and excitement, and you thought these songs were so cool and you could dance to them, and it was just kind of one big party that you wanted to be part of. So she really wanted to create a 80s sounding album with this, which I think she definitely did, but also managed to make something that sounded, you know, quite ahead of its time and really could fit the kind of more electro edgy dance pop that we're going to see kind of from here on out in the noughties and in the early 2010s?
Yeah, I think when Love Angel Music Baby came out, it arrives at a point where I was becoming more aware and fascinated with 80s pop sounds. We've already had Mariah's Glitter in 2001. Danny Minogue's Neon Nights and Holly Valance's State of Mind had both come out the year before in 2003. So again, I was already diving into this world of what is 80s sounds.
I just see you now. It's a montage. David Lynn time travels through the 80s with Gal Pals, Danny Minogue and Holly Valance pointing and looking while you're just going through the era. That's the Right Back At You movie. No, that is so wonderful. And I absolutely love that it's these queens and these icons that introduce the 80s to you. I feel like 80s nostalgia here has always been strong. Like, as you would know from like working on things like Rewind and stuff, that 80s nostalgia kind of feels like it's been prominent my entire life.
Yeah, I think 80s nostalgia is strong in Australia for sure. It was in the 90s when I was living in Malaysia, so maybe it was like a little too close to the 80s still.
Yeah.
But certainly in the 2000s when I was growing up, yeah, you started to see bits of fashion come in and it would reference the 80s. I made scrunchies for my primary school project and they were 80s-tastic.
That is so cute. Buy this scrunchie and get a free copy of Danny Minogue's This Is It.
I was trying to make scrunchies happen in the year 2000.
Oh, get it, David Lim. I hope you got glowing, you know, A plus or whatever for that.
Yeah,
project.
I think I sold like one scrunchie, but yeah.
Who did you sell it to? Your mum?
Might have been my cousin, yeah.
Corner them.
Just give me a dollar and I'll give it back to you at lunchtime, yeah.
So shall we talk about the amazing collaborators that you see on this album? We've got Linda Perry, Eve, Dr. Dre, Andre 3000, the Spice Girls collaborators, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, Sugar Babes collaborators, Dallas Austin, Hilary Duff collaborator, Cara Diaguardi, and no doubt member and ex-boyfriend of Gwen, Tony Canal. Like, that is a caliber of people to be on an album.
It's definitely A-list, but also it felt like everyone came together and worked towards Gwen's vision. It was a very cohesive and very clear vision. It was focused.
What are your standout tracks on this album?
This is a no-skip album for me. So thankfully, this album was so successful, had so many singles. So we're going to touch on those. Album track-wise, The Real Thing, written with Linda Perry. Beautiful, wistful, rose-coloured 80s Eurodance ballad. At the time, lots of reviews were saying this sounds like something Madonna could have released back in the day. Look away, my love, my love. I want you to stay. Bernard Sumner and Peter Hook of New Order actually performed on the track as well. And there was the slow jam remix of The Real Thing,
yes,
by Wendy and Lisa from Prince's Band. I mean, talk about credibility.
That is my number one standout song on this album. The original album version is gorgeous and the slow jam bonus track, I might actually prefer that version.
I think that's the one she sings on tour, her first tour. Also, it's very, like, perfect for, you know, your shower concert series.
Yeah, I'm going to add it to the playlist.
I can imagine, like, the reverb and everything. Your boyfriend knocking on the door. Joel!
Shut up!
It's been 45 minutes! We're just doing the encore now.
No one in the building has hot water because you've used it all. I'm sorry. Lock me up and throw away the key.
One thing I learned about this song, JB, is that it was released as a promo single exclusively in the Philippines.
Oh, give the people what they need. What else stood out for you on this album, David?
I really enjoyed Bubble Pop Electric as well. I'm waiting, I'm patiently anticipating your arrival and I'm hating. It takes too long to get to my house. Yeah,
Yeah, so Bubble Pop Electric, even though this isn't one of the Tony Cannell co-writes, I actually thought this is maybe the most No Doubt sounding track on the album.
It's got like just crazy skittish energy, which, yeah, would really fit on a set list next to some of No Doubt's punkier, rockier songs. Yeah, I hope she does this in a Vegas residency and kind of mixes it in.
Yeah, she should do like how Kelly Clarkson, when she tours, she'll do like requests. So people in the audience can do requests and she'll pick one for the show. So like, yeah, you should be able to pick like your favourites from the repertoire if it's not included in the set list, and then hopefully she'll do it.
Love it.
Anything else that stood out for you?
Danger Zone.
I think that both Danger Zone and Sirius are two really like brilliant low-key bangers.
For this album, it had such an exuberant energy. When we got to Danger Zone, it was kind of like, ooh, there's a little bit of a darker edge here. You know, we've got the kind of racing electric guitars. Gwen was singing about her relationship with Gavin Rossdale. It's not fair. I think it was kind of around this time where it sort of came out that he had like a secret love child or something. That lyric where she goes, "Are your secrets where you left them? Because now your ghosts are mine as well. I think it's time I met them. I think it's time you tell." I mean,
did you know that
yeah.
Daisy Lowe is Gavin Rossdale's child?
I only found out today.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't know what a Daisy Lowe was until I moved to the UK. You know? And now I look at it, I was like, yeah, Daisy Lowe's the child.
And then also, I just want to give a shout out to A Long Way to Go with Andre 3000.
Yes.
A song about interracial dating on a big mainstream 2004 album. Now I'm getting dirty looks. I wonder what they say if we were blind. We were blind people. Incredible that it's there, and it's so shit that we have to say it's a different time and we're still going through everything now, but the messaging on that is fantastic, and it's brilliant that it's there in an album that was in so many people's homes around the world.
I'm obviously very much overhyping now, but it obviously puts this album in my mind in the headspace of artists like David Bowie and Prince. Like, this is not just another pop album anymore. It feels like art.
All right, David. So well done for buying this album. I'm sure you told everyone else in Down Under High to go and buy this album. It was a number one hit.
Down Under High.
Hilarious.
So that's what you think of us in Australia. Everyone just goes to one high school and is Down Under High.
It's huge.
There's Steph McIntosh, there's Nikki Webster, Ricky Lee's the substitute teacher.
Where else? UK number 4, very strong album charting there.
Really incredible. So it debuted in the UK at number 14, selling over 45,000 copies in its first week. 25 weeks later, it climbed to the peak of number 4, and it became the 20th best-selling album of 2005. It goes on to sell over 1 million copies here in the UK, certifying 3 times platinum.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So it was also a top 5 hit in America. Now that is phenomenal. Number 3 in Canada. Thank you, Canada. Very successful. Number 5 in Scotland. Number 5 in New Zealand. Japan, it was number 36. 5 in Ireland. I mean, global smash.
Global smash. Love Angel Music Baby sold over 7 million copies worldwide. And out of those 7 million copies worldwide, 4 million of those were in the US alone. In 2005, it was the 12th best-selling album globally. So, ka-ching, bitch. So, Love Angel Music Baby was also nominated for a Grammy in 2006. It was up for Album of the Year, JB.
Wow.
Also nominated in this category is our queen, Mariah, Emancipation of Mimi. But they lost to You Too.
You Who?
That is not featured in J14 magazine, okay?
Our readers are distraught. Shall we go to December 2004, Gwen Stefani released Rich Girl featuring her 2001 BFF, Eve.
Na 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 na
na na na na na na na na na na. So, David, did you know that this song, Rich Girl, is an adaptation of If I Were a Rich Man from Fiddler on the Roof?
Look, I mean, I have had access to Wikipedia for a few years, so I did find this out. But I'm not a musical theatre darling like you are, so I do not recognise the original source.
The source material. I remember one of our teachers, when this song came out, because we were loving it, like, said, oh, you all know that's from a musical, right? And we were like, no. He played it to us, as in, like, he, because he played it on the piano, and I was just like, oh God, what the fuck is this SH1T? It was just like, ugh, thank goodness Gwen found, and no shade to Fiddler on the Roof, it's a very celebrated and loved musical, but thank goodness Gwen found this song and did what she had to do.
It was everything that we expect of, like, a big pop star look. It was radio friendly, it was a real mainstream sound, it was even kid friendly, I would say. You know, that music video was kind of like a Disney Channel special, wasn't it?
I was like 13, loved it. It just seemed like everyone loved it.
Yeah. This music video was directed by David LaChapelle, and it's absolutely fucking lavish, isn't it?
It is. It is sexy at sea, and it's absolutely bonkers. And it is Pirates of the Caribbean, hun. And that is the only time we're saying hun this episode.
The single came out in March 2005 in the UK, so even though it was a December release in the US, we gave Gwen a bit of time off over Christmas and then said, fly over to Blighty.
J14 sending you on an all-expenses paid trip to London, Gwen.
Honestly, this magazine needs to give us some money. We've given it so many mentions in this episode.
You could at least restore my former lunchbox, which just had clippings of J14 stuck all over it.
I love that you did that and how you, like, told your mum off if she was, like, ever trying to wash
it. You gotta wash it. Just the inside.
This lunchbox is dry clean only, Wendy. So Dr. Dre produced this song. I think he already had the concept for Rich Girl. He brought it to Gwen. She came up with the lyrics for it while she was, amazingly enough, on her treadmill in her London mansion. So she really was living that rich girl life and just kind of went, do you know what? Yeah, all the things that I've worked so hard to have, you know, maybe I'll try and write it from a perspective of when I didn't have all those things and I was dreaming of having it.
So David, look, you probably skipped it because you bought the album. Number two in Australia, probably one copy out of being number one because of you. In the UK, another number four hit for Gwen. Four's the magic number, clearly, but it was a number one on the UK R&B charts. So that is fantastic. But here we go. Gwenny has made it into the top 10 in America, David. This is a number seven smash hit on the Billboard Hot 100. And a number 16 hit on the US Adult Top 40, because, you know, it's very mature.
Yeah, the other 15 spaces above her were filled with, like, Norah Jones and U2.
Norah Jones, U2, Norah Jones, Gwen. Number three in New Zealand, number two in Ireland. You are really stepping up to the plate today, Ireland. Well done. Scotland, number four. Okay, you're on par with us. That's fine.
Now, this song was also nominated for Best Rap Song Collaboration at the 2006 Grammys, but sadly lost to Linkin Park and Jay-Z's Numb/Encore. That Jamelia song.
I know the Jamelia version, yes. Yeah, that's gorgeous. Well done, Jemmy.
Yeah, well done, Jamelia.
Jamelia took that song and did what she had to do with it. Give her the Grammy. December 2004, David, we also have to say that Gwen Stefani appeared in the Aviator film with Leo D and the original Katie Bees, Kate Blanchett and Kate Beckinsale. So let's go to March 2005, David, with what I would say is probably my favourite of this album and my favourite of the singles of this album, Holla Back Girl.
I used to put this album on in the family CD player in the living room, and every time we got to the end of Rich Girl, track two, I had to rush, like literally bolt, sprint to the stereo and turn down the volume because track three, this my shit. All the girls stomp your feet
David,
like this.
David, get that racket down. Your little brother's listening to this. This is it, David, right? This song went absolute off then, and it still does now.
This was a time where American pop, R&B, hip-hop fusions were setting the tone, the global agenda for what was the standard for pop music. We had Holla Back Girl, we had Don't You by the Pussycat Dolls. Producers like Pharrell and Timbaland were like at their fucking peak.
So this is the other video that I think has similar elements to an Ashley Simpson video. So I think this has some similar elements to La La, which did come out at the end of the year prior. So this one, Ashley did those things first.
In what way is it similar?
It's just similar.
American women in front of a camera.
I stand by my point, David. I don't need to reference and explain myself because I can't think of it specifically now, but there are similarities to the two videos.
I have to say, you know what? Holla Back Girl was such a big hit. It was in a time where I was downloading a lot of bootleg mashups from LimeWire, and you would always find someone doing a mashup of Holla Back Girl with another song. Same with Khalees' Milkshake and Don't You by the Pussycat Dolls. Like, something about the DNA of these songs made it very easy to do mashups for.
Oh my God. You've made me remember, actually, which I think was on my old iPod Mini, and I have tried to find it again and I couldn't. Someone on LimeWire, which I had, did a mashup of Britney, I can't remember which song, Mandy Moore Candy and a Christina Aguilera song, and it was like, oh my God. And I it's not out there again. So if anyone has that, like, send it to your boy the JB. Do you think anyone, David, has done a mashup of Holla by the Spice Girls and Holla Back Girl?
I would love to see it.
Obviously you can't change people's vocals, but you could have like the VB ad libs. Holla back girl, make you scream my name. This shit is bananas. Don't be afraid to play my game.
Or you could just edit, just rip out the JB's vocals and add that in there. No one would notice any different.
Just a couple of musical theatre darlings doing what they do in the R&B scene. So, Holla Back Girl, David, Australia is killing it today. I'm so proud of them. This is a number one hit in Australia. Here in the UK, number eight. So this song was number one on the Billboard Hot 100, while also becoming the first US download to sell 1 million copies. Can you believe it? It's like when Rihanna was the first person to get a number five hit through downloads alone. They were like, wow, you know, people don't really get in the top 40 on downloads, and Rihanna's in at number five.
Yeah, so it really is showing that the tide is changing with music consumption, and, you know, the charts are recognizing it. And what a thing to be able to say to your kids and your grandkids. Like, not everybody can say that. So what an incredible feat for Gwen. Finally, a number one single. It was number two on the year-end chart on the Billboards behind our queen, Mariah, We Belong Together.
Oh, that was her year.
That was Mimi's year. That was the reckoning. Like, comeback upon comeback queen. Also, Hollaback Girl was nominated for a Grammy Record of the Year. We Belong Together was nominated as well. Sadly, our divas lost out to Green Day, Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Okay, David, so shall we pick things up in July 2005? Gwen Stefani releases the stunning fourth single of her debut album, Cool.
Joel, this is one of her best songs, hands fucking down. A real gem. And oh my God, you cannot think about this song without even thinking about this iconic, beautiful music video. Like, this is cinema. This is work of art.
This is such a stunning video directed by Sophie Muller. Like, I want to see the feature adaptation of this.
Sophie has done a few videos for No Doubt in the past, including the very iconic Don't Speak video, Simple Kind of Life, all this. There is history there. They are friends. It has all the elements of a signature Sophie video, you know, the quick zoom ins, zoom outs, the very tight, almost metronomic cuts between shots. Very, very signature of this time for Miss Sophie.
It was filmed in Lake Como in Italy. And I'm just saying, can I move there, please? And also, can the live Right Back At You tour go there? It's two dates only. First date, Brent Cross. Second date, Lake Como. She just looks so gorgeous with both short blonde hair and short brown hair.
I love seeing brunette Gwen. I remember like when this video first came on, I was like, excuse me, like this is a revelation, because she has such a signature look, you know, platinum blonde hair, red lipstick. That is the Gwen Stefani look. She said in an interview that the brown lace front wig she wore cost $7,000.
And now that would be like the budget of the whole video.
Exactly. That was one fucking wig, bitch. Wow. So this is a Dallas Austin and Gwen Stefani creation. Gwen flew out to Atlanta. Presumably, I was going to say, JB, this might be around the same time that the Sugar Babes were there doing Push the Button,
God.
Maybe.
Oh, wow. Heidi, I love what you do there with that me. That is cool, man. Super cool.
So, yeah, this was the Dallas Austin and Gwen Stefani creation. They apparently wrote the song in 15 minutes. Dallas had already come up with the chords. In his mind, he wanted to create his version of No Doubt's Simple Kind of Life. And when he told Gwen about the concept, it really just triggered a lot of memories for her, because I think that song was about Tony Kanell. She went about writing this song with a bit more of a positive spin. And really, it's such a gem, because we don't often get songs like this that's written about that transition from friends to lovers and lovers to friends. Like, it's just incredible what she's done, writing something so nuanced and something so beautiful and honest at the same time.
So, Cool. Fourth single, guys. We're in fourth single territory. We've had a gorgeous high-budget video. Top 10 hit in Australia. Thank you, David. Number 11 here in the UK. 13 on the Billboard Hot 100. So it is interesting how it has sort of seemed to more climb more as the singles have gone on.
Number one on the US Dance Club Songs. Have to say, shout out to Richard X for doing the remix.
Oh, really?
Incredible.
Oh my God, I need to check that out. Number 11 in Scotland, number 9 in New Zealand, 15 in Italy, 12 in Ireland. You know, it was doing things. 10 in Czech Republic.
Yeah, this is a winning era.
So let's fast forward to October 2005. You go, God, can you imagine having a fourth single? Gwen Stefani releases Luxurious, the fifth single from Love Angel Music Baby. So perfect. Working so hard every night and day, and now we get the payback. Trying so hard, saving up the paper, now we get to lay back. Working so hard every night and day, and now we get the payback. The payback. The payback. And champagne kisses hold me. Now
the single version features Slim Thug. This might be the only Gwen Stefani single I've ever bought.
You came in when you saw it was needed, your time, your money, you pounced.
Exactly. I knew the first four singles were going to do well in Australia. You didn't need my money then, Gwen. But I'm coming in for single number five, darling, because I see you're in a crisis and I'm on my way to HMV.
So did that come with a previous single or no?
Yes. So the real ulterior motive for buying
Luxurious
Richard X remix of Cool that was on it. So I just went, that's my King Richard in there. Now's the time to hand over my hard-earned pocket money. One thing interesting I didn't know about this song until today was that her then-husband, Gavin Rossdale, does the French spoken word bits in the intro.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Gavin. J'adore Gwenny. So look, fifth single, David, and Luxurious goes in at 25 in Australia. But you've told me you bought it, so no berating of you here today. It's in my contract. I can only berate you every few episodes. So it was a number 44 hit in the UK. To be honest, I don't remember it being released. 21 on the US Billboard Hot 100. So that is still really impressive.
Isn't it wild that all these singles have outperformed What You're Waiting For on the Hot 100?
Yes. Right, David. October, that same month, she goes on her first tour, the Harajuku Lovers Tour. This was a US-only tour, but it did 42 shows. That is very impressive for your first solo tour. That is a lot of dates.
You know, maybe she was just testing out the waters and seeing how it goes. Apparently, she told her team that she didn't want to tour this album, but after seeing the success, she was persuaded to do it. Now, this is incredible. And, you know, I was really glad that they filmed it and released it on DVD.
And it did look absolutely epic. But she performed pretty much the whole album. And also what I found really interesting was she performed like two songs from the upcoming album.
Mm.
That shows an artist, you know, when they're teasing next album tracks. Because, you know, from our pop faves, you wouldn't get that. It's such a machine. And as I said earlier, unfortunately, No Doubt songs, which I really did find surprising.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like just kind of a thing with her that she thought it wasn't right to do the No Doubt songs without them. You know, maybe she felt, let me just do this and let me just promote the album that I'm here to promote and I'll get back with you guys soon. Because I think she always wanted to like get back with No Doubt after the release of this album.
So, shall we do a little wrap-up of what an amazing year 2005's been? So, on top of everything that we've spoken about, David, earlier that year, Gwen received the very coveted best-selling new female artist at the World Music Awards. This was the same year that the Destiny's Child tribute medley happened. This award was given to Gwen by the previous year's winner, my girl, Hilary Duff.
Oh.
I actually remember watching this, being weirdly angry at the time that she was considered a new artist because she's such a veteran of the industry. And obviously now as an adult, I completely understand. But hey, we take the awards where they are given and that we're three seasons in, but we are happy to take any Best New Podcast Award going. So call up the boys. And if Hilary Duff's giving it, even better.
That's the only way we'll do it.
That's the only way. Not anyone contacted us. Oh, you've been nominated. We're there. Anyway,
back to real life award achievements. Gwen also won a Brit Award in the year 2005. She took home Best International Female Solo Artist. And incredibly, she performed at the Brits that year doing What You're Waiting For. She was on stage on a throne. It swiveled. This is possibly the best entrance on stage with a throne since Victoria Beckham.
On World Idol.
Yeah. I mean, it's really incredible, you know, watching Gwen in this era with her live performances because it's so like, it's flamboyant, but it's also still with the backing of a live band. So that's another thing that's kind of like, hey, I'm a rock chick. What a blueprint for your kind of Katy Perry concerts that is to come 10 years down the line. Your Marina and the Diamonds, Electra Heart era. So defining to have her put such a mark on pop culture with this one album.
January 2006, we've got the sixth and final single, Crash, and that was written by Gwen herself and Tony Kanal.
Now, this was a promo single only in the US, it seems. It had a minor impact on US radios, but still, it made number 49 on the Billboard Hot 100.
People can't get enough of it. America cannot get enough of it.
So she was pregnant at this time with her first child, so which was kind of why the label thought, okay, just to buy her a bit of time, let's do a sixth single, let's send something out there.
Yeah, bless her. I mean, look. Once the baby was there, she was not putting her feet up, bless her. You know, it is hard work.
And you know, I think she really hit the ground running, even after giving birth, because 2006, she, before the end of the year, she's kickstarting the second era. And then the following year, a world tour. So no rest for new mummy Gwen.
Well, we got baby with us on, you know, on a tour van. So it's got its own crib, loves it, loves being
all right,
on tour.
Keith Lemon.
They're all like family. Imagine if Gwen Stefani was secretly Northern. There'd be a lot more accents in this episode.
Oh, so we have to say, in this era, at the height of her solo career, Gwen was growing her business empire. You know, it was fashion, it was fragrance. I was obsessed with her Harajuku Lovers fragrance line.
We actually used to sell that fragrance at Harrods.
Did you get a discount?
I didn't get a discount because I was through agency. I was through the world's number one theatrical retail agency.
Oh, yes. Sell it.
And this is like 5 years later. Like, they were still selling it in Harrods, and they didn't really do celebrity fragrances in Harrods. Everything else was very, like, top tier, really highbrow. I remember this being like, finally, a real fragrance.
I think maybe I bought two or three of these in the series.
So you really genuinely liked the smell?
I really did. I loved the baby one, which smelled like baby powder. That was my favorite to wear at uni. And also G. And I think that one had a little bit of a coconut kind of smell. So it was very summery. I mean, this was the time I was working at McDonald's. So, you know, I would like, before I start my shift, spritz someone.
Oh.
As I was leaving, covered in grease, I'll spritz someone as well. So it's like, yeah, French fries and Gwen Stefani.
I'm ready, boys. So the fragrance was a global smash hit, number one on the Australian fragrance charts.
Triple platinum.
It is still trending in Boots.
Chemist Warehouse bestseller of the year in Australia. Well, that's our Gwen, you know, coming from Orange County. She's just an Orange County girl, now a global fashion empire mogul. She's doing it. She really dived into this part of her career with lots of gusto and just went, do you know what? I'm going to make some fucking money.
It's mad that one person that was so, like, shy and not wanting to go into solo foray has then gone and hitting it hard in kind of the branding endeavours.
Yeah.
So hats off to Gwen. She has baby. And then October 2006, David, as you said, hits the ground running, releases the first single from the second album, Wind It Up.
Yeah. This is the key that makes us wind up when the beat comes on.
So David, here again, we've got another musical theatre song being reimagined, this time using The Sound of Music.
So apparently I think the original Neptune's mix of this song didn't have Sound of Music and the yodeling shit in there. Look, Joel, I'll be honest, this wasn't my bag. I just thought, okay, Gwen, if this is what you want to do, just to be a little bit different, then that's fine. But I'll sit this one out.
Not skipping Down Under High to run out and get this one.
Definitely not.
I actually enjoy this song more now than I did then. Because I remember even at the time being like, I'm not sure. This episode reminded me how much I loved that first album, Gwen Stefani, how prominent it was in our lives. I'm appreciating things that I didn't appreciate the first time around. So this song, I probably clocked off. But now I'm like, banger. Comes on at GAY, I'm going to dance to it.
So yeah, look, I have to say, this music video, again, directed by her good pal, Sophie Muller. This one really is giving me a bit more of a Vegas show performance. Do you know what I mean? Like, that background is clearly a screen on stage. She's got props, she's got dancers.
It feels like there's probably a lower budget, but she's doing a lot with what she can do, what she has.
The styling, it feels very deliberate. It's less costumey than the kind of Marie Antoinette fantasy she was giving us with What You're Waiting For. It's more Chanel. It's more sophisticated. It's gold. It's black. It's, you know, the grey uniforms in the dancers. So I feel like Gwen is growing her image and her brand to something a little bit more upmarket.
From Claire's to Harvey Nicks.
So Wind It Up debuted at number 40 on the Hot 100, which is her highest chart debut there at that time. Within 4 weeks, it climbed to a peak of number 6 there. So real star power happening there. The Gwendom is just on it.
Loving it.
In the UK, it was released in December, peak Christmas period, JB. And she peaks at number 3 on the charts behind Take That and Cliff Richard. Like, this song.
Well, it's the perfect stocking filler, David. Number 5 in Australia, very impressive. New Zealand, dun 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 dun, number 1.
Wow.
It was gold in both Australia and New Zealand.
This song was such a reprise of the Pharrell and Gwen Stefani magic that they created with Hollaback Girl. We're going to see more of that with this second album. And do they recapture the magic? We shall see.
Shall we move on to Sweet Escape, the album?
The most impressive part for me about the album is the press shots. I'm obsessed with these portraits.
Oh, they are gorgeous. I mean, David, you sent them to me today and bloody hell. Obviously, like, we all know the iconic album front cover. There were so many more shots from that shoot. Head and Shoulders, giving you the vibes, the energy, the emotions. My favourite, as I said to you, is the one of the single tear coming down.
This was taken by Jill Greenberg, who's a famous photographer that was known for her series of portraits of, like, toddlers crying. And she, you know, seems to be able to capture these emotionally raw moments in a really poetic way. And it's also very glossy.
Gwen was due to go back to No Doubt, or was due to, like, you know, continue working with No Doubt after the first album. But she wanted to release some of the leftover tracks. But I also think there must have been push from the label. Like, you know, that was so successful. They would not have wanted to stop that. Yeah. I mean, there was so much, like, Gwen Stefani stuff happening now. The music, first and foremost, but so much stuff beyond that as well.
The mood with the Sweet Escape album really is like a side B of Love Angel Music Baby. The only real difference that is noticeable here is that it's got a more current sound. It's got less of the 80s. Yeah. Music influence, and it's more fusions with hip-hop and R&B, and it was more 2006, you know?
It does feel kind of more like, not generic, but yeah, straight up current.
In the context of 2006, it makes a lot of sense. You know, that year we had huge pop R&B hit albums from Nelly Furtado with Loose. We had Fergie's debut solo album, The Duchess, and also the Pussycat Dolls PCD era was in full flight this year. So it really felt like the Sweet Escape kind of just came in and slotted in at the end of the year. You know, it felt like Gwen had opened the door for these girls, maybe, and these projects when she had Hollaback Girl and Rich Girl.
Yeah.
In that year that she sort of took a little bit of time off, these hit albums have come in, and now she's sort of bookending that. Does that make sense?
I think her first album definitely paved the way. That it's interesting that then the second album, it's lost a little bit of the magic, but it is still a brilliant album, don't get me wrong. So do you have any standouts on the album, David?
A highlight for me is Wonderful Life. First you want me, the first you this with Linda Perry about Gwen's first love, who sadly committed suicide. He was apparently a very big fan of Depeche Mode. I remember in interviews Gwen saying, you know, what a big deal it was writing this song and then actually having Martin Gore from Depeche Mode play on this track. She was like, oh, you know, he would have absolutely loved it, you know, if he was around to see this. What about you, JB? What highlights?
So, a couple of highlights. I just want to say Orange County Girl.
Oh, really?
The JB in the real OC. The reason why is because we love a self-referential song here at Right Back Atcha. Friends, flew down to make a hurricane in Miami. Working with people, gonna get myself another Grammy. I got the lemon, it's rocking the ice cream. Blend it together, something fresh and kind of in between. Now I'm feeling just something that I love. So I don't really give a fuck. The music don't come in no color. It's time to move on, hit you with the chorus. This was what they were doing at the time, you know? Like, all these pop stars were plugging their fashion brands in the song. Do you remember when Beyonce had Get Me Bodied and she had the lyric, shake your derriere in them derrions? It is of the time. But look, I love when like product placement is done well, I love it.
And guys, coming soon, very, very soon to you, is our Right Back At Your fragrance and lunchbox collection. So don't miss
exclusive
that.
Exclusive to
Harrods. Available on Asda.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, we need to have a sit down with our business manager again, JB.
None of us are on the same page here. I'm like pure eau de parfum. You're like, it's eau de toilette and...
You know, it's a deodorant.
A body mist.
It's a...
So, David, I got another real... Like, this is probably the biggest standout song for me on the album, Yummy.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you said this. I was wondering where you stood with this.
I'm sure this song is really famous. And I don't know if it was used for, like, X Factor promo. You know when there's, like, the sponsored branding during the X Factor?
Oh, right.
Or if it's used for something else prominent, like maybe food delivery ads? I'm feeling yummy head to toe. You see me, ain't got no patience, so let's go. You see me, look, I'm diet drama. Wanna spend the night, don't bring pajamas. When there's so much heat beneath these clothes. You see me, I know you've been waiting, but I've been up making babies and let the chef making donuts and pastries. I was immediately obsessed with Yummy when I got the album. Like, it was just, in my mind, you know, in this time, such a big fandom of the pop R&B stuff that was coming out of America. Perfect companion to Khaleesi's Milkshake. The Black Eyed Peas, My Humps. Like, that was just the mood, you know? Sexy, edgy, dead famous, yummy. anything else stand out for you?
No, those were the ones for me, really. But, you know, we'll get into the singles, which are really where my heart is at, yeah.
Gwen's back and she's done it again because in Australia, David, this is a number two album on the ARIA charts.
Incredible. Number two there, spent 2 weeks in that position, certified double platinum.
Number three in America on the Billboard 200.
Incredibly, it debuted at number three. So
people needed it.
People were there for it. 243,000 copies in the first week, going on to sell over 1.7 million copies in the US alone.
Number 14 here in the UK, number 4 in New Zealand. They're showing up and they're showing out like they always do. Japan, number 7. I believe that's much higher than the first album.
I guess Gwen is more of a profile there now, yeah. And also, this was the album she did a world tour with. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to see Gwen in person, buy that CD, and, you know, just feel that closer connection to her.
Japan are feeling yummy head toe with this album.
So in that same month of December 2006, Gwen releases The Sweet Escape featuring Akon, the single. This one would come out a few months later in UK, Australia and the rest of the world, but it was summertime in Australia, JB, and this was a mega monstrously huge radio hit there. Together, and damn it, boy, now wouldn't that be sweet? If I could be sweet. I just remember my little brother being in the car singing along with a ooh, wee ooh. Like, it was just, everyone was feeling it.
This is the Sean Lim episode. We know your true love of Gwen Stefani here on Right Back At Ya. Do you remember, David, when Akon was on everything?
He was the man to work with. And Jimmy Iovine at Interscope was really pushing Gwen to work with Akon. She was kind of like, not really sure. She went into it thinking like, okay, I'll write with him, but maybe it won't be anything that I would actually be able to use that would make sense for me. But she was really impressed that when she went in, he came out with this song, this track, and it was more doo-wop than hip-hop. So it was more her vibe.
I think personally that this should have been the first single off the second album. This song was nominated for Best Pop Collaboration with Vocals at the 50th Grammy Awards, which is amazing.
Wow.
This song went in at number 2 in Australia. Well done, David.
This is Gwen's 5th top 5 hit in Australia. I used to do the kids' parties at McDonald's.
Aww.
And I would make my own mix CDs for the kids' parties. And this song would be on there because I know the kids loved it.
And did you ever play it like through the mix? Did you put your mix CDs through like the main store speakers?
I did. Well? I used to make these huge MP3 CDs with hundreds of songs and they used to put it in. Yeah. I used to put on Charlotte Church, you know, her pop album. I used to put on the album tracks on there.
Deserved. Deserved. So, not only was this a number two smash hit in Australia, thanks to your McDonald's promotion campaign through the kids' party circuit, it was also a number one smash hit in New Zealand, number two here in the UK, number one on the UK R&B charts, number two on the Billboard Hot 100, number one on the European Hot 100 singles charts. And then quiet few months, probably really busy in rehearsal, to kick off the Sweet Escape World Tour in April 2007.
Now, this is Gwen's first world tour and only world tour to date. She did 98 shows over 7 months, went around North America, Australia, Asia, Europe. She did 7 shows in Australia, including 2 nights in Melbourne where I was. I sadly didn't go. I don't know what I was doing. Maybe I was just, you know, a poor uni student trying to save up my money. She did 2 nights in Wembley Arena in London.
I actually would have loved to have seen it. And again, No Doubt songs, apart from the few dates where Gwen Stefani was joined by her No Doubt bandmates and they performed Just a Girl, Spiderwebs, Sunday Morning, Hella Good, and It's My Life. So during this tour, we actually see another 2 single releases. First off, in May 2007, we have Gwen releasing 4 in the Morning. Honest, this was my first time hearing it in the build-up for this episode.
You don't know this song before this?
The next few songs were kind of brand new to me, if I'm completely honest.
I think it's severely underrated, this song. Like, it's just, again, kind of like what she did with Cool, where she wrote a very honest and nuanced song about a relationship and the kind of, you know, stumbles that you have when you're in a long-term relationship. Gwen did it again with 4 in the Morning. Like, it's just so brilliant.
Now, our Gwen is back working with our Sophie. And this one's kind of like an American remake of Cool. You know when like a European or world cinema film gets an American remake? This is kind of what it's like.
It's kind of like Gwen Stefani as an off-duty Marilyn Monroe in an apartment.
Well, look, this was a top 9 hit in Australia, David.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, it did wonders and numbers there. 22 here in the UK, number 3 on our R&B charts, allegedly. 54 on the Billboard Hot 100.
So this was at the time Gwen's lowest charting solo single on the Billboard Hot 100. But do you know what? She probably wasn't there to promote it as much. She was on a world tour. It is what it is. Still number two on a dance club songs, so you know.
It gives you that. And it was platinum in Australia. So there you go. So moving on to August 2007, and she is releasing Now That You Got It.
I really love Now That You Got It. It was definitely one of my favorites on the album. My days, they better be sunny, better be nothing but all that I want. Now that I'm your baby, the things you promised me, now I want. Now that you got it, what you can do about it. Now that you got it, what you can do about it. Come really your baby, then share with me your secrets and doubts. Now that you got it, what you can do about it. I went through a phase where I was obsessed with Swizz Beatz Productions. It's very signature Swizzy. You know, it's got the hot, fast-paced beats. You think about Beyoncé's Ring the Alarm, another Swizz Beatz song. Upgrade You, Check on It, Eve's Tambourine, JoJo's The Way You Do Me. I am obsessed with this.
Amazing. For me, it personally doesn't peak the way that all the previous singles have, but I appreciate that it really does that for you. And I think maybe because these two were new additions for me, I think I'll really learn to love them between now and when the episode's out. Now That You Got It, I don't think you did get it because it went in at number 37 in Australia. I certainly didn't get it. It went in at number 59 here.
It was Gwen's lowest charting solo hit here. It would be another 12 years before Gwen has a solo single that chart here again. And that was in 2019 with White Christmas at number 62. So, you know, that really was a remnant from an era for our Gwenny Gwen Gwen.
It didn't chart on the Billboard Hot 100, but it did go in the US dance singles sales chart at 13. 60 in Austria, 26 in Italy, 21 in New Zealand, 17 in Norway. You know, it's still doing things. And this is what, the fourth single off the second album? Let's go to January 2008, Gwen's final single off the second album, Early Winter. I hope she's got her regatta coat on.
Again, she's giving us these moody mid-tempos that I really like. Just, it stands the test of time.
I think this should have been the third and final single from the album.
And just really focus the attention and give it a push, you know?
Yeah, go out strong with this single. Really hit it hard. World promo. Maybe like the single for the tour, like a ballad tour single.
She wrote this with Tim Rice-Oxley of Keane. So it felt like a really big UK look specifically. Would have loved to have had a Brit Awards performance since this came out in January. The following month, would have loved to have seen her do this on a Brits with a piano, maybe giving you that fake snow inside Wembley Arena. Yes.
This is another stunning music video with Al Sophie.
They shot it in Budapest, Milan and Prague while Gwen was on her tour. The guy who plays her lover in this video is actually her backup dancer. And I think for a tour or for a music video made on the road, it looks incredible. They must have like just hired some grand hotel somewhere in one of these European cities and just like had a snow machine inside and gorgeous gowns.
Now look.
You know?
Give us an art house du jour feature film, ladies. Gwen is the lead, obviously Sophie directing. We could have Sophie Ellis-Bextor play the best friend.
Didn't chart in the UK, sadly.
Didn't chart. I'm wondering, it probably wasn't released here is what I'm thinking. But it was a European hit and a global hit. It was number 22 in Austria, 10 in Belgium, 19 in the Czech Republic, 26 on the European Hot 100 singles, 14 in Finland, 6 in Germany, 6 in Slovakia, 12 in Switzerland, 17 in Hungary.
What a way to leave us with the second album era, and what a successful run from 2004 to the end of 2007/start of 2008. Like, that is an impressive sprint. That is an impressive run from Al Gwen.
Yeah, two big albums, two big tours, so much going on. Perfumes, fashion line. It's a big, big 2000s pop career that a lot of our faves that we cover could only dream of. This and more is what all of our queens deserve. So hats off to Gwen for having it, slaying the game. We have to say within the few years after that, No Doubt did reunite and give us another album. I'm still waiting for another world tour from either No Doubt or Gwen. I'll take what I can get.
Gwen did end up releasing a third solo album in 2016, This Is What The Truth Feels Like, which became her first US number one album. It debuted at number 14 here in the UK, but dropped out of the charts after 2 weeks. She had a very successful Christmas album in 2017, which seemed to have lived on for a few years. And of course, as we said at the start of the show, the Vegas residency, Just a Girl, which kicked off in 2018 and has been sort of on and off for the last 2 years before COVID hit. Fingers crossed. New single this year, Gwen's back. Let me reintroduce myself. Please reintroduce yourself to us with a world tour when we can have it, Gwenny Gwen Gwen.
She promoted the Christmas album at Westfield here. She did a performance. Do you remember that?
No. How did I miss this?
I don't know. I remember saying to my friend, I think my friend went, actually. I think Emmanuel went. We should have gone, Davo. Hopefully we'll be at a time where there's more Right Back At You field trips. We don't know when. We'll take it all as it comes. But in the meantime, we will keep escaping to the 2000s like we always do. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. If you're not already, please do follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. We'll also be having a Spotify playlist to coincide with this and all of our episodes, so search Right Back At You on Spotify and listen to our playlist. If you're liking what we're doing, please do leave us a 5-star review where you listen to this podcast. And you can follow me on all social platforms at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow David at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, guys, stay safe, stay as sane as you can. Bye.
Bye.